you've been fighting Burden and Fear and being away from Fear Factory. What was the turning point that made you guys decide to get back together to the music?
I think first of all, you know, years have gone by. It's been like 6 years. And I heard through the grapevine that you kind of wanted to, you know, talk to me. So it kind of wasn't really too unexpected when he did.
Mm-hmm.
When he came up and approached me. And what he did, you know, I was like, you know, I decided to hear him out, see what he had to say, and we, you know, we exchanged phone numbers, and we talked for quite a few months before we decided to even, play in a band together again, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just realized that what we were arguing about in the first place was nothing really important. It was stupid, and it was, we were young. You know, a lot of things, you know, got in the way, and you know, miscommunication. And, you know, probably part of it was our dumb young egos at the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we pretty much got over it, got past it. Here we are today, jamming again.
And are there any moments where there's, like, some bits of animosity between you guys, or it's all cleared out?
Not yet. I mean, I don't know whether I should expect it or not, but not yet.
And, I mean, Mechanized, the band's latest album, did you guys wrote it together, or how did the writing process start for that?
Well, for the most part, you know, me and Burton, you know, did a lot of discussions. You know, once we decided we're going to write together again, you know, he came back. He came back to L.A., lives in Pennsylvania now, came back to L.A. and stayed at my house for a while, for at least 6 months, and we were, you know, in my bedroom writing a lot of riffs, coming up with ideas and song titles and concepts and things we wanted to sing about, and just the whole vision of what we thought would be cool for this album. And then, then we hooked up with Gene Hogan and Byron, and we started to, you know, tell them our ideas, and, you know, then we just started to collaborate together, and then boom, just the record came out. The record was done in 6 months.
Hmm.
You know, writing, recording, mixing, mastering, everything was done in 6 months. Which was, since I've been in, you know, since all the records that I made with Fear Factory, that was the fastest.
And what do you think that you guys were shooting for with the sound of the band with this release?
Well, one of the things that we talked about is that, you know, Archetype and Transgression, you know, Bert felt that those two records were suffering in the keyboard and sampling department. So he kind of wanted to, you know, bring that back. And that's when we decided to bring back Lee Fulbert, because he was a really big integral part of Fear Factory back in, you know, Fear's the Mind Killer, Demon Manufacturer, Obsolete, and Digimortal. You know, he was really part of our sound. And he was the one who brought up a lot of the, you know, the industrial elements with all the keyboard samplings and all the vocal samplings. Stuff like that, and all the distorted, weird sounds you hear in the background. Now, he was the guy responsible for that, and he also helped out, you know, with our production side. And I think, you know, bringing him back into the band definitely, you know, helped us achieve what we were trying to go for. And we were trying to make a very exciting, very, you know, up-tempo, aggressive album with a sick production. And I believe that we achieved that.
And what do you think that, I mean, what modern influences do you think you had in this album since it sounds somewhat
modern
more...
Modern influences? I don't know, because you know what, dude? What is new today was old, you know, years ago. You know, it's like people are always influenced by, you know, like, for instance, you know, a lot of people, you know, copied Iron Maiden, and it's big, you know, a lot of the guitar shredding stuff has been back, and that was something that was really big in the 80s. If you remember,
yeah,
you know, and all that stuff is coming back. So it's like, to me, what influenced me from the beginning is what it's influenced me now. Modern wise, I always thought that Fear Factory's been, you know, kind of ahead of a lot of things. You know, I believe that we were, you know, as far as production side, when the Manufacturer came out, you know, a lot of people weren't triggering, you know, they weren't using drum samples, they weren't using, you know, a lot of keyboard samples, they weren't using a lot of vocal samples, they weren't, you know, looping guitars. A lot of people weren't doing that in metal. And, you know, in death metal, and Les felt that we were always ahead of the curve. You know, and it's way back when, 1992, when our first record came out, Sylvan and Machine, Bert was doing, you know, brutal vocals with melodic choruses, which has pretty much become
standard.
Pretty much metal in general now. So I always felt that we were a band that was always ahead, and, you know, and somewhat innovative in some of the things that we created. So I think that, you know, the things that influenced us from the beginning are the same things that influence us now. So as far as modern, I believe that Fear Factory is still modern because people are still doing what we did in 1992.
Yeah,
Does that make sense?
Yeah, we were kind of referring more like the groove aspect that it's been incorporated into Fear Factory most recently.
Groove aspect. Again, I mean, you know, we were really influenced by Godflesh, you know, their groove, and we were influenced by Helmet, early Helmet, and their groove. You know, we were influenced by stuff like that. You know what I mean? And that stuff kind of still influences me today. And, you know, I would have to think maybe, you know, I think the only thing that's maybe more that's modern that I could say that was influenced by modern stuff was when I was doing my other band, Divine Heresy. You know, that stuff is more, you know, really super fast, and, you know, it's got a lot of technical elements about it. You know, there's a lot more guitar riffing on it. And I believe that, you know, subconsciously I brought a little bit of that into Fear Factory, you know, with the guitar solos and stuff like that. And that's really about it.
Yeah. And when you were out of Fear Factory doing Assassino and Divine Heresy, were you listening to what the band produced during that time, or you kind of tried to stay away from it?
Oh, no, I was definitely in tune with what was going on with Fear Factory and the two records they put out without the Archetype and Transmission. You know, I was definitely in tune with those records. You know, I definitely gave them a listen, you know, to see where they were going. When they came out with Transgression, I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, just like a lot of people.
That was pretty much my opinion. You know, like, what the fuck happened to these guys? And then, you know, when me and Bert started talking, you know, started telling me what had happened, why it suffered, why it came out the way it did.
And you guys just came back from a few European dates with Metallica. How did that go?
It was fucking amazing. It was definitely, you know, one of the highlights of my career. Definitely opening up for Metallica. I mean, you're playing, you know, in front of 15 to 25,000 people a night. You know, these are really big shows, and it's a whole different level of touring. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys, you know, they're a metal band, but, you know, the way they run their show is very professional. Very, very professional. It's like a, you know, it's like a big elaborate show, like, you know, like if you go to see a big pop band like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Madonna or something like that. I mean, you gotta realize that they're at that level. You know what I mean? And, you know, being able to, you know, open up for a band at that level is just fucking amazing for us. That was always one of our personal goals, was to open up for Metallica, and we actually, yeah, and it actually happened because of this record. I mean, they were a fan of this album. James Hetfield was like, first thing he said, dude, fucking record heavy. So it made me feel really good that he actually.
And do you think it's going to be weird to get back to the next tour you guys are doing with less money for production and all that?
All ass club stages, fucking shitty ass backstages.
Yep.
No, I mean, you know, I, reality, you know, obviously we're going to be playing those kind of clubs, you know, for a long time. I mean, maybe we'll never ever get to the status of Metallica. I mean, what metal band really does, you know.
Yeah, it's a handful.
You know what I mean? So, you know, no, I'm ready to eat shit all again.
And how do you feel the fan responses have been for this the album that's been out for a few months?
Surprisingly very, very positive, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times, you know, as you know, every metal site, every website you go to, always the message board where somebody's always talking shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? People are always talking shit. And for some reason, you know, we really didn't get a lot of that. And I was really surprised at how positive everything was. And I'm very happy. You know, I'm very proud of this album. And glad that, you know, that album was, you know, able to open doors for us, you know, to open up for Metallica, and, you know, we got nominated for an award, we were involved with Golden Gods Awards, and, you know, we're doing major touring again, so, you know, it feels really good.
And why do you think you came out with a basically a European-based label and it was licensed to Candlelight?
Why do we think we did that? Because we wanted full control. For instance, when we were on other record labels, when I was in the band, you know, there was a lot of, you know, the band didn't make any money for years and years and years because we signed shitty contracts. Shitty contracts. Even though the band was popular, you know, we were getting ripped off from the record companies. You know, we signed a deal, what they call a 360 deal, where you signed your record royalties, you signed your publishing, you signed your merchandising. We did that way back in the day, and it's really fucked us.
And do you think that labels...
And so, you know, we decided to go with a smaller company because they gave us full creative, you know, freedom, and, you know, we didn't have to worry about any of the major label fucking politics.
And do you think that you guys signed that deal at the beginning since it was like, ooh, a record deal, let's just take it? Or what was the reason you guys signed like that at the beginning?
I thought I just explained it. I mean, we didn't sign any record deal to sign a record deal. Definitely not. I mean, is that what you think? I mean, we're not like some little kids just signing a record
deal. No. I mean before. Way back, yeah.
Way back in the day?
Yeah.
Totally. When we first started, come on, we were like 19, 20, and we're like, oh, get to put a record out? Yeah, find your name here. And then, you know, a year or two later, we're like, wait a minute.
And do you think that labels are changing their approach now since there's more bands out there?
Do I think labels have changed their approach?
Well,
not
so.
Really. Not really. You know, I think labels are still, you know, taking advantage of artists and so on and so on. But, you know, a lot of things have changed now, you know what I mean? A lot of, you know, record labels don't really have that kind of money and they don't really have that, you know, a lot of CDs are not being sold these days. It's just a whole different ballgame.
And how do you think that digital media has impacted the way Fear Factory used to be get known by newer people?
Well, we always talked about that. We always talked about that on record, you know, how, you know, the internet, you know, what you want to call digital media is really going to control our lives, really going to control a lot of things, and how certain things are going to become obsolete. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that was part of the band's lyrics and stuff.
Exactly. So, I mean, we feel still the same way about it. You know, obviously, you know, we sell a lot of records through iTunes, so we're happy.
What about you personally? Do you like that medium, or you still like to go to the shop and get the actual CD with everything?
I personally don't really like to go to the shop. You know, it's just fine. Somebody gives it to me, so.
No.
I really don't go to shops anymore, but maybe, you know, there have been a few times where I've gone to buy vinyl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean.
But I actually go out and buy vinyl, you know what I mean? Because, like, you know, like a lot of people are reissuing their records on vinyl, and I think it's really killer. I mean, our record came out on vinyl.
Yeah.
We're selling our shows. We actually sell our shows and we sell in the stores. It's actually doing quite well, man. We're really surprised how, you know, well, you know, kids are buying vinyl. I mean, we're selling at least, you know, 15 vinyl a show.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, how do you guys see the new fans that Fear Factory is gathering since?
How do I see them? I think it's great. I mean, I think that, you know, Fear Factory, I think, has generations of fans. I mean, you know, we have, you know, a lot of older people who listen to us when they were younger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, people who are, like, you know, reaching 30 years old now, you know, or to the mid-30s, actually come to the concerts, and then they're bringing their kids, you know what I mean? Their 14, 15-year-old kids to the show. So I think it's really cool that, you know, we can appeal to all the generations.
And do you think that with all the flooding of newer bands, more... wasted promotion that there is kind of harder for older bands to get new fans or establish themselves better than before?
bigger bands and try to gain new fans that way. You know, it's definitely a very competitive market out there, and yeah, there is a lot of bands coming out. You know, people only have so much amount of money.
Yeah.
And that's why you gotta try to come up with a good package, and you gotta try to come out with a decent price ticket. You know what I mean? A decent price for your ticket, and so you try to. It's competitive, but you do what you can do.
Yeah. And did you saw like any difference when you first started Fear Factory and then you started your Divine Heresy and Assassina? Did you see the difference of how to make an impact?
Well, Divine Heresy and like Assassina, we have a lot of newer fans. You know what I mean? Especially Divine Heresy, we have more of the death metal fans following us. A lot of the younger generation. And same thing with Assassina. But do I see a difference? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, because with Fear Factory, before there were only like a certain number of bands, and now there's all these other ones that is hard.
There's a shitload of bands. Yeah. I don't really let that stuff bother me. I just try to go out there and try to do the best we can.
And do you find it kind of different to play, for example, Divine Heresy? Like you said, it's more different technical stuff, and then go to Fear Factory and play something a little bit slower than that.
Yeah, a little bit, a lot. because Tim is doing, stuff like 240 BPM. It's pretty fucking fast. Whereas, Fear Factory is in the 190 to 215 range, and that's a lot slower, what I mean? But still fast to the average person.
Yeah.
But I notice a difference. Yeah, my arm doesn't hurt as much when I'm doing Fear Factory.
And are there any plans for another new Assassino album since the last one was back in 2006?
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes, there is. We've already been writing songs. We've got a couple of songs written. And we're trying to get it out. We're trying to get it recorded this year and have it out by next year. I have to have the same thing with Divine Heresy. I have to put it in the record next year. So I've got a lot of writing to do.
And how do you manage to balance all the three bands, since a lot of musicians keep saying that, one band is more than enough, but you seem to be doing pretty well with all three?
Good question. I'm really busy. I'm just constantly working all the time. In July, Fear Factory and Divine Heresy are going to be on the tour together.
Oh, so it's going to be a good opportunity to do both?
Yeah, where are you?
Excuse me?
What city are you in?
Oh, we're in Montana, so we don't get anything here.
Oh, man. So where you gotta go for shows?
Oh, well, I usually either drive to Seattle or Denver, which is 10 hours either way.
Oh, that's okay. Well, actually, in Seattle, you'll be able to see... If you go to Seattle, you'll be able to see Divine Heresy and Fear Factory in July.
Oh, nice. We're gonna mark your calendars for that, for sure.
Yeah, I don't have a date yet, but we're working that out right now. So right now, this part of the leg is going to be us strong, and then later on it's going to be Fear Factory and a few of the band, plus Divine Heresy. So it should be good.
Oh, yeah. And what do you think about the current touring packages? And sometimes you get, completely unrelated bands together. Sometimes you get pretty strong packages with the same genre. How do you see that?
I think diversity is good. You know what I mean? As long as it's in the genre of metal, I think it's really cool. I think that, just because, one person likes Arch Enemy doesn't mean another person can't like, Fear Factory.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's cool. I think sometimes it brings, diversity into a show, and I think it's cool that other people get exposed to other types of metal.
Yeah. And have you guys started thinking about the next Fear Factory? What's next for Fear Factory?
Well, we're definitely going to have a record out by 2012. We'll have a record out, for sure. What we're going to sing about, what we're going to write about, I don't know yet. We haven't thought about that too much. I mean, the record's only been out, what?
Yeah, a few months.
How long?
A few months. I don't have date exactly.
It's about 2 months. That's about maybe eight or 9 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
So you guys want to squeeze one out before the world ends in 2012? What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, look at all the major disasters that are going on.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's pretty good arguments from both sides.
I think that the world is... I don't think we're all gonna roll it to the end. I think it's gonna be a big shift. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The world is shifting.
Well,
so
much
for... I think the world is shifting right now, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All these earthquakes, you know, I believe that all these plates are moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think we're all going to die.
And since you live in California, are you concerned that you're going to live in an island anytime soon?
That's right, I'll take a boat.
And so, I mean, besides all the Fear Factory touring and then the writing of the new albums, how do you find to, I mean, what do you try to do with your free time?
What do I try to do with my free time? Spend time with my wife and my dog.
And do you think that the view, the way that you see the touring and everything that comes with making music and being in a band has changed over the years that you've been doing it?
For me, has it changed?
Yeah.
Not at all, man. Not at all. It's the same for me, man. It's practice. Write, record, practice. That's pretty much what I do. This is what I love to do. I love to write.
And do you ever thought, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure you did, but we don't know, that you will not be doing any more Fear Factory during those years that you were separated from
them? Yeah, I thought for sure that I was never going to be back in Fear Factory. I definitely did think that, you know, and that's why I was just going to be mad with Divine Heresy, you know what I mean, doing that stuff, and same thing with Asesino. I was doing all that stuff at the time, and then now that Fear Factory came in, obviously, it obviously takes much more of a priority.
Yeah. So you did have that moment that you were like, oh shit, we have to start again.
You're talking about with Divine Heresy?
Yeah. I mean, with Divine Heresy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was pretty busy. Even when I was out of Fear Factory, I was pretty busy. I did this thing called the Roadrunner All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
And I also had another band at the time. And we were touring. We were called Brujeria.
Oh, yeah, we definitely know that one.
Yeah, so I was really busy with those two projects, doing that, but then I wanted to leave Brujeria, start Asesino, and then, you know, get really serious about Divine Heresy and finally doing that, and working on that project and getting that out, and so on, and, you know, touring, stuff like that. So, you know, I would be really happy with just Divine Heresy and Asesino, you know what I mean, but obviously, you come back in a Fear Factory. Wow, icing on the cake.
And do you think that having made your name, would Fear Factory have like some weight in the success of Divine Heresy and us, you know?
I hope so. I hope it did.
Because, I mean, so you were not concerned about people being casing you with Fear Factory when you had a project that was completely different?
Well, there was a point where I was doing Divine Heresy, and there was a point where, you know, Fear Factory put out Transgression, and it was such a horrible record that any association with Fear Factory was not good.
Yeah.
If it was like, Dino Cazar from Fear Factory, ooh, Fear Factory, like, that thing is horrible, you know? So there was a point where it was kind of bad, but, you know, now that everybody knows, you know, this record is out, heavy, I'm back in the band, it sounds killer, you know, people are starting to regain their faith in the band.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of fans lost with that release. So, I mean, in all the other future projects you have, what else is in store besides the Divine Heresy and Asesino new albums? Do you have any other side projects that you're thinking of doing, or you're pretty much all tapped out?
No other side project, just yet. Hey, I gotta do my next interview.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to close it off, just a few words that you want to say to make people go to the shows and buy the new album.
Well, I want to say, you know, thank you to all the fans who supported us over the years and all my projects. And I just want to say that, you know, if you guys come out to the show, that we're definitely going to put on a fucking sick show. We're going to do about an hour and 45 minutes worth of songs, everything from old to new. And it's going to be killer. And the new record's out, Mechanized, sounds amazing. Hopefully you can pick it up or download it on iTunes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the interview, for your time.